Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, May 1st, 2023. This morning, I will talk about Pentecost. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you formed and empowered the church at Pentecost, and in faith have come into our lives. We confess that we have not always lived into our salvation or shared it with those in need. Forgive us our selfishness, our pride, and our neglect of your church. Thank you for Pentecost, for the many spiritual gifts, for your provision and sustenance, and for your presence and protection. Draw us closer to you every waking hour. Open our hearts, illumine our thoughts, and strengthen our hands in your service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Romans 1:21 we read, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." The battleground of the church is the human heart. Just before God sent the flood to wipe out all of humanity save Noah and his family, we read, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continuously. And the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart." This is Genesis 6:5-6. Notice the phrases, "every intention of the thoughts of his heart, and it grieved God in his heart." The word heart in Hebrew is lev, which means either the inner man in contrast to the outer, or the inner man in definite, soul, comprehending mind, affections, and will. The Greek translation in the Septuagint is cardia, which means either heart is the seat of the physical, spiritual, and mental life, or interior center heart. The biblical heart is accordingly closer to the term soul, and clearly involves both mind and body, not simply a body part or an emotional center. The Apostle Paul uses the concept of the heart in Genesis 6 in defining salvation. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." This is Romans 10:9. He also employs heart language in citing the antithesis of faith, as cited in Romans 1:21 above. This thesis and antithesis uses of heart in Paul's writing displays the heart as the focal point of spiritual warfare. Normally, we expect an argument to start with the statement of the thesis. The heart is the battlefield over which the question of faith is decided. Because Paul starts not with the thesis as expected, but with the antithesis, foolish hearts, we sense Paul taking the doctrine of original sin seriously. Our hearts are not a blank slate that our parents and teachers simply write on. Original sin darkens our hearts, making the work of Christ on the cross necessary to implant the Holy Spirit at the moment of confession. Original sin refers to the rebellion of Adam and Eve in disobeying God to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is Genesis 2:17. This act defined Adam and Eve as lawbreakers and tainted the family tree. While Paul writes about foolish hearts, there is also a curse. God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts. That's Romans 1:24. Lusts of the hearts rephrased as dishonorable passions. Original sin is a heart problem of loving the wrong things. The heart is accordingly not neutral ground. God's general revelation, often pictured in Psalm 19, has been rejected. Paul writes, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." This is Romans 1:20. Men and women did not honor God, were ungrateful, and were futile in their thinking. Furthermore, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things. The current fascination with the occult, gender, the many emotional support animals are not necessarily innocent obsessions, in part because they represent confused hearts, hearts not loving the right things. Paul follows these debased minds down the slippery slope to their logical conclusion. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They were gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithful, heartless, ruthless. This is Romans 1:29-31. While your list of evil acts may not be the same as Paul's, the point is that sin leaves no one untouched whose heart is allowed to gravitate to its own dishonorable passion. The church began with the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost celebrated the barley harvest, or first fruits. That was a time of joy because it meant that fasting and hunger from the previous winter, so common before the Industrial Revolution, would finally end. In this context, we read, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is Acts 2:1-4. Several observations here are important. First, the disciples were all together in one place. The church's formation was a communal experience. Second, the Holy Spirit is the agent of this transformation. From heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and the one filling each of them. Third, tongues as of fire enabled them to speak in other tongues. While the Holy Spirit inaugurates the church collectively, the Apostle Peter, in speaking later the same day about what it means to participate in this transformation, also refers to the agency of the Holy Spirit in individuals. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is Acts 2:38. The church provides a forum for repentance and baptism, but it is the Holy Spirit that is the agent of transformation in the believer following God's special revelation in Jesus Christ. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.